Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hello and welcome to episode 1 of To The Regiment, the Early Doors podcast with Phil Mealy and me, Ben Steele. How are you today, Phil?
I'm all right, Ben. I'm good. I'm Phil Mealy, obviously. You can, if you watch Early Doors, you'll tell from my dulcet tones. This isn't my real voice. I'm really a Cockney, actually. I just thought, you know, we're here to do the podcast about Early Doors, To The Regiment. This is episode 1. Many more to come. We're going to go in depth into the grapes and tell you all the behind the scenes stuff and the secrets and fill you in on what's gone. I hope you find it interesting. Cheers. I've done podcasts before. Specific general podcasts, really, of people asking me various things about the Royal Family and Early Doors and Sunshine and things that we've done. But just... You got in touch with me, didn't you, and said what you
That's
think
right,
about
yeah.
the podcast. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of, there's a growing audience for Early Doors, which is a bit weird to say, really, considering it's 20 years old since it was first shown. But it appears to me that in that time, it's more popular now than it ever was, and then maybe in another 5 years' time, it'll be more popular than it was, you know, than it is now. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be that thing with Early Doors that when it first came on, it was kind of buried in the schedules a bit, really. So a lot of people just didn't get to see it. And I think the majority of people, I don't know how you came to see it, but the majority of people, or lots of people, not the majority, lots of people anyway, come across it like usually you do with things where a friend or somebody, you know, a mate at work will say, oh, have you seen this? And I thought, man, not really. No, I don't know. I've heard of it or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And people say, oh, you must watch it. And usually, you know, I'm like that with things to watch at the moment. You know, I'll watch something. Like, I loved Breaking Bad, and it was somebody put me onto Breaking Bad. And then I didn't watch Better Call Saul. And then a couple of mates said, oh, you must watch Better Call Saul. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
And I think that's that's what happened. I think that happened with Early Doors, that its popularity has grown so much, much to the surprise of the BBC, or much to the puzzlement of the BBC, probably, when you approached me, I just thought, oh, well, actually, it is a good idea to do something because, you know, some people were only bits of kids who were fans of it now.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to revisit and talk about how it came together, about the episodes. And there's a because it's popular, there's a curiosity about it. And there's a lot of affection for it. And yeah. I've got a lot of affection for it. That's why I think the clips on YouTube and Twitter and stuff are so popular. And the reviews on Amazon and things like that are always amazing. Because people have a real... It's not just a sort of take it or leave it program, I don't think. I think it's one of those things that you watch two or three episodes and you're in.
Yeah.
It's like it just you sort of have an affiliation or an affection for the characters and for the program. So, and I think that just transcends into people being interested about how it developed and various scenes and that. So I just thought it'd be a really nice thing for the fans of the show as well.
Yeah, I agree. That's where my initial idea for this came from. I like doing podcasts. I like listening to podcasts. And it seems like a good medium to have this conversation, basically. It's like a tribute to the show, even though, as you say, it came out 20 years ago. Well, the first season did, anyway.
Yeah.
And you're right. I think I discovered it in two ways. I was a Royal Family fan.
Yeah.
And this was kind of built a little bit like as the thing that came after it in that world. And my friend Dave, everyone's got a friend Dave.
Oh, yeah.
He went to school with Mark Benton.
And yeah, it could be very odd, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, Mark obviously went to school. So he's like, you got to watch this because blah, 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 blah. And I think why people like it so much is it's got that, it's real humour. It's how people talk to each other.
Yeah.
Sarcastically or taking the piss.
Yeah.
But it's also got that heart to it as well.
Yeah.
Which I think resonates with a lot of other people who might not be traditional comedy fans, if you will.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things that people recognise, if not themselves, they recognise situations and people in it. It's not that far... I mean, obviously, it's a heightened reality, otherwise, you know, because nobody's funny for half an hour. not even me, as you'll find out. But, you know, it's one of those things that it is based in reality. You can recognise the characters, and therefore that's where the affection for it comes from, because you can identify, you know, you can relate to it. Nobody can relate to Mrs. Brown's Boys, I would imagine, unless you are dressing up as an old woman and climbing to the top of a Christmas tree that revolves.
True.
It's not, you know what I mean? So it is that, but I'm not... I mean, there's a place for that. My mum and dad think Mrs. Brown's Boys is really funny. Mm-hmm. But but that's sort of pantomime, isn't it? Whereas with Early Doors and with the Royal Family, we were going for something that's more about sort of character and the kind of the intriguing things about people's characteristics and the redeeming characteristics about people as well, I think. I think in this program, we always try to make it that even if they're taking the piss out of each other, there is something that's redeemable about the characters. Even the cops, you know, the cops are just lazy bastards. But there's something, even, you know, people are outside of the pub, are getting burgled and robbed and mugged, and also there's something quite, you know, there is something redeemable about the cops in their kind of funny, well, what's the point of it attitude that you kind of know, you know, you are, you know, it's like when you know, one of the cops, I think it's his sister's cassette, back in the day when they had bloody cassette, you know, a DVD in the car. Car stereo, car radio was pinched. And they saw him running down the path and he said, did they report to the police? And he's like, well, what's the point? You know what I mean? So it's that kind of, I think it's that kind of things like, well, even the, you know, that was everybody's attitude about reporting crime. It still is. And to hear the police say it as well, you just think, bloody hell, what kind of... So there is something about the redeem about the coppers just being those everyday people that are, you know, dodging the system a little bit.
For this episode, we could set the scene a little bit, and there's going to be some apologies, very basic questions. But yeah. I've also got quite a philosophical question here as well. So look out for that one.
All right, will do. Is it existential? So, yeah.
It's not existential, no.
What? Yeah. What is life about? So,
yeah. So the first question, real basic context. If you're thinking of the treatment that you and Craig probably wrote 22 years ago, 21 years ago at this point, how would you describe what Early Doors is and what Early Doors is about?
That's a little question, but a big answer.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, myself and Craig, when we first had the idea, it wasn't as condensed as like anything else. We had a few ideas. It wasn't specifically Early Doors. Wasn't specifically going to be just about a pub. Well, that was going to be part of it. When we had the idea, we just said, look, when Caroline had gone to Australia because she was getting loads of press intrusion here.
Right.
We were like, okay, well, let's just try and write something. We always Craig did as well, thought Cheers was a great, you know, the American sitcom in a bar. So I've known Craig since I was about 14 or 15. So we've known each other like a long, 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 long time.
Right.
And we used to go drinking, underage drinking together in the local pub because he only lived 5 minutes away from me. So we were like, oh, it'd be something interesting about writing something from a working class pub point of view. Mm. It's like Cheers because there are all these funny characters in there. And then we sort of extended that to, it's almost like Coronation Street, really. So, we could have a chippy as well. That'd be quite fun, you know, because after the pub, you go in the chippy and there'd be something funny about that. And maybe we could have like an old people's home. And we had all these ideas. And so we'd write for the different ones.
Right.
But with the pub, we always kept coming back to the pub and we always kept coming back to writing about the old lady with the home help. And so then one idea, I can't remember which one of us, or we had the bright idea of thinking, oh, you know what, why don't we just combine the two and make it the pub landlord's mum?
Yeah.
And then we've got the whole thing in one building. We condensed it down to that. And then I think our idea as well at the time was, and there still is, there's a bit of a, it's a bit grim up north kind of attitude that I don't know. I don't think we'll ever shift that. I still think it exists today. You know, there is a kind of a bit of, north of Watford, it's, you know, you're in Scally culture. And a lot of the programs that we see would reflect that kind of, it's grim up north, the hardship of it, people ripping each other off or selling drugs or, you know, Shameless is a good app, but, programs like that, where there's that kind of, everyone's a bit of a rogue, really. I mean, and that goes on, you know, we've all kind of know people like that. But for me, growing up in a working class, you know, area, that wasn't my experience for the majority of the time.
No.
Majority of the people that I have ever come into contact with were just warm, funny, sarcastic, because mm-hmm. that's the way we've been brought up, to show that your affection or your interest in somebody or your camaraderie or, you know, that connection you have with people,
yeah,
is bounce, they call it these days, don't they?
Yeah.
like it's something that never existed before. But yeah, so so I think the other thing was that we wanted to try and get on screen what we'd experienced and the funny things about ordinary people that aren't aspirational. That was the other thing as well. You know, sitcoms, majority of sitcoms is somebody wanting to be somewhere else.
Mm.
It really does. They're quite happy to be where they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's no like, we want to be, nobody's, you know, in a lot of sitcoms, as I said before, like middle-class sitcoms or where the aspiration or where they're trying, you know, this, whatever they're in isn't good enough. I mean, I suppose Only Fools and Horses is a good example of that.
Yeah.
Which is a great sitcom. I'm not in any way slagging it off, because it is very, very funny. But there is that thing about, you know, this time we'll be millionaires, next year we'll be millionaires. Well, like the Elvis time we'll be millionaires and all that business. Well, yeah, there is that. But we're quite happy, you know, just going in the pub, having a few drinks, having a crack with people. And even though it looks, and I think that's the difficulty we've had really in getting a commission, is that from the outside looking in, if you don't know that world, it does, on the surface, it appears like people are just sat there taking the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
But actually, they're going in there to take the piss or have the piss taken out of them. And because there is a collective kind of connection about, mm-hmm. you know, that extends beyond the pub. So that's what, you know, when you hear it nearly does, obviously that's the nucleus of it, but you hear about, you know, Eddie's mum and dad and yeah. my missus and, you know, the cops' wives and Gyro Jim and all these other people
yeah.
that exist just in your imagination. But again, they don't actually, because you sort of know those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, we just wanted to make something that was really funny initially. That's the other thing. You know, loads mm-hmm. of comedy, it's just not funny. You know,
yeah,
it's like right. warm and clever and gentle, but you're not actually, not laugh out loud. You don't find yourself guffawing. You don't actually find yourself, very few times, I think, you know, obviously there's an exception, but for the majority of sitcoms, you're not actually sat there laughing out loud. You just think, you know, oh, it's gentle, it's funny, it's warm, it's, or whatever you think of it. Mm-hmm. But so we wanted to make it like, you know, because somebody would come on telling me, say, oh, this new sitcom, you know, I'm not naming any names, but you'd watch it or I'd watch it and think, well, what, I don't get it. Where's the laughs? It's clever.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of maybe making a social comment on the government of the day or whatever it is. But, you know, where's the laughs in this comedy? So yeah. that was, you know, make it really funny. Then you've got people will watch it again. But also, you know, we want to write what we know about. And also, we were conscious of the fact that, and I think we've struggled with that. I still think we've struggled with that. I think to this day, the BBC, because, I mean, there's all these petitions and things and people write to the BBC. I get loads of stuff about people writing to the BBC about Early Doors. And I still think that to this day, because the people in the ivory towers who control commissioning cannot see, don't know that world, and don't get the affection for it, even though the figures tell them, even though when we toured it after 15 years or whatever, we were filling state, you know.
Yeah.
100,000 people came to see it. You know, would that happen to, I'm trying to think of another sitcom that's 20 years old that, you know, there are a few, but would King Gary get, will that get that in 20 years' time? Or will, you know, Hold the Sunset get that in 20 years' time or whatever? You know what I mean? I just
good questions. Yeah. It's hard to tell.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really basically, you know, I don't know if that answers the question because I told you I just ran on forever, but I think that's what it is. I think it's something that's really funny, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think it's something that, you know, we always wanted to make it dramatically interesting as well. Not too complicated, because you don't want a too complicated narrative in it, because you need to have room for it to be funny. But you want people to connect with the storyline, like with, you know, Ken and his daughter looking for a real dad, that has some sort of resonance and poignancy and some depth to it as well, rather than it just be about these people, you know, who are funny but just, you know, chipping away or going about their lives, you know.
Yeah, and I think we'll get to that in due course, but it's probably worth mentioning, you're right, with Ken and Mel, she's looking for a real dad.
Yeah.
And at the end of series one, there's a devastating line where she says, "And you're my dad."
Yeah.
Which, juxtaposed against the big boy's Beano, which is like mayhem.
It's,
I think that's what people like. And if series two, if you think about the phone bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the fact, like, 30 seconds later, they're talking about Chippy Tea. People really connect with that.
Yeah. And plus, it's that thing of, you know, you kind of want those moments where you want to, you know, I believe in, and it sounds a bit like, I believe the children are for children. Yeah. There you go. That's how. But I mean, you know, you want to hope about and believe in the goodness of people. So, which I still think it is, you know, which I do. And I think it is true. There's more good than bad. It's just that we focus on the shit.
Yeah.
Whereas, so I think what, in a way, people look at Early Doors and why it was so popular and why so many people came to see it when it was on tour is, and what people say, it's nostalgic. It's nostalgic. It's looking back.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nostalgic because it was made 20 years ago. But you can still find them characters. They might not be in the pub, but you can find, you know, if you sit on a bus, or which I got one yesterday. I got the bus yesterday. It was an adventure. I've not been on a bus for about 5 years. But, you know, or if you sit in a cafe or, you know, even the pub, I'm pointing here because my pub's right across the road,
right,
which is great. Those people are still in there. Those are nice. You know, those people are still in there. It still exists. The characters are still in there. Whether they all go in the pub is a different matter, but you can still see them anywhere you like.
Yeah, and I think if anyone has or hasn't seen the show, if they watch it now, there's only really for me, because I got a friend at work into it, who he's about, 10 years younger than me, and he's from America originally. So he's never seen it.
Right.
And I said, what are the two things that date it? And said it straight away, mobile phones.
Yeah.
And smoking in pubs.
Yeah.
That's
it.
Yeah. That's it, really.
Yeah. I mean, the smoking thing, obviously that dates it because the law changed it. But when we did the live show, we just put a little canopy outside. So we actually went outside. So we did the live show outside the front door. So the front door was to the side of it, but the stage was open, so you could see the inside of the pub.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, we just go out to Joe. Well, I didn't smoke in it, but Joe would go outside, but I'd go with him just so we could talk.
Yeah.
And so that is the only concession that we made to the 15 years that had passed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, in the series, we did use mobile phones in it because there's, you know, so they were around, and I think we referenced it. I think me being on the phone to my wife about
the car
breaking down and mom and and Debbie on the phone to her kids in the car and all that business. So well, it's that, I suppose, and I suppose the online stuff is that would be the thing that they would talk about now.
Yeah,
it would be more on about, like, Tommy would be like, you know, infuriated about the fact that people were getting the shopping delivered to the pub or whatever it was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or somebody ordering a pizza that he could say, he would, like, find that offensive. You know, why can't people use their ovens and all that?
Yeah.
No, he would, you know, bloody mobile. It would be that and about, you know, about people dating online. Well, in fact, we did that in the live show. You know, in the live show, I was doing the online dating thing. Conrad Silver.
That's right.
Yeah, my pseudonym. I think people look back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
People who say it's nostalgic, I feel like that covers more of a thought or a longing for that kind of sense of togetherness and community feel and being part of something. The way where you're taking the piss and being like-minded. I think that's what people, it's an affection for what is good about a community. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
And they say it's nostalgia, but I think, you know, as I say, I'll be in there tonight with my mate Keith. I'm pointing upstairs because I live in some, you've got to call them apartments in Didsbury, but it's a flat basically.
Right.
And we call it the Outbreak Hotel because it's all like full of that divorced blokes like me mate Keith. So, but you know, I'll be going across the road tonight, and it's, you know, I could go in there whenever and just chat to people, and there'd be a group of people and on. So that early doors culture and that thing of people, you know, being relatable.
Yeah,
exists now, so I think that's what the longing is for. I think that's why people say it's nostalgic, and I think that's why it's popular, because people are like, you know, it is something that should be celebrated. The fact that we should be connecting with each other and looking out for each other, taking the piss about each other, but collectively, you know, like in the series and like in the live show. It's about everybody sort of coming together and trying to make something better, which is, that's not a bad, sounds a bit philosophical, but you know, it's not a bad thing.
I haven't even got my philosophical question yet.
Well, there you go. I've gone Buddha straight away. I can't believe it's not Buddha.
Right. Well, I'm going to mix this up a little bit. So the grapes itself,
yes.
Two questions about the grape. So obviously it's a set.
Yes, it is. But although people say, I know where that pub is. It's like, no, I don't think you... No, I do. It's in Salford. It's such and such a thing. Or it's in... Yeah, but come on. Your question. Sorry, I'm just...
So it's two questions.
Yeah.
Is it based on a pub that you and Craig went to when you were young? And why is it called the Grapes? Was any of the considerations for the name?
It's based on a few pubs, really. It's like with the characters, you know, they're sort of cherry-picked locations and, you know, the different pubs. So me and Craig used to drink in a pub called the Three Crowns, which is in the Heath Norris in Stockport, which is not there. And well, it's the building still there. Mm-hmm. So our formative drinking years were in there, and it had a vault and the room. Right. And like the room, I think was, I think beer was a penny dearer in the room than it was in the vault. You know what I mean? Just so we used to go. So the Three Crowns was one that we would frequent. Mm-hmm. And a few different pubs, but the look of it, there was a pub called The Nursery as well. And there was a pub near us called The Grapes.
Right.
And I think we just went through a few different pub names and, you know, we liked, I don't know, we thought The Grapes was, because, you know, back in the day, people would say, oh, I've got a touch, you know, if you had piles, you'd have a touch of the grapes, wouldn't you? That's what we used to say. Oh, man, I tell you what, I think I've got a touch of the grapes, or the Johnny Giles, or whatever it was. So, and I think that came into it at some point, and that quite tickled us a little bit. So I guess that's really why, and we just sort of stuck with it. So, I mean, people in Stockport know the pub, The Grapes, that we would go in. Mm-hmm. And think it's a kind of tribute to that. Which I guess in some ways is that was in our heads because we used to go in there, but also because we thought like schoolboys, not that we were schoolboys, but it could mean piles as well, couldn't it? So that was it. And we took ages with the title as well. We always struggled with really, because Early Doors is a funny term. A lot of people. It summed it up quite well because, you know, in the old days, of course, pubs would, you know, shut at 3 and then open back up at 5, 6 o'clock. And you'd get that early doors people who, you know, you'd be queuing up outside waiting for the pub to open to go in. But we had a lot of people saying, you know, particularly spoiled commissioners saying, what does it mean, early doors? What does it mean? Can't you call it the Windsor Castle or the Grapes or whatever? And we were like, oh, well, you know, the Georgian Dragon, so we know, or, you know, and we were sort of, well, not really, because this is what it's about. It's about, you know. So I think that confused people early on. Because I don't think they knew, because it's a football term as well, isn't it? A lot of people say, "Oh, you know, he got a yellow card early doors or whatever it is." You know, you hit that a lot. So I think that was quite confusing to people as well. The fact that what is it about this early doors thing? It doesn't scream pub, does it? Well, it does for us, does it? Yeah. You recognise that term, but a lot of people don't. So so that was a funny, you know, but being truculent northern people, we just stood our ground and said, no, we got early doors.
And so it should be.
Exactly.
The characters themselves we'll probably touch upon as we go through the episodes.
Sure,
And it seems like a lot of characters are more like partnerships. So there's Joe and Duffy, Ken and Melanie, Eddie and Joan, Gene and Winnie, Phil and Nige, Tommy on his own, obviously.
And then you've got his catchphrase off then. Stay on my own.
And they've got the girls like Tanya, Debbie, Janice, Nicola. When I was re-watching recently, that was something, looking back, that I think resonated with me more because whether my dad was at football or my stepdad was working on a Saturday, I'd always be with my mom's friends.
Yeah.
So that capturing of northern women is pretty spot on.
Yeah. Well, the thing is about the girls is that in fact, all the females in Early Doors are the strongest characters in it.
Yeah.
I mean, the strongest as in so much as they have, there's more stability about them. They have more, influence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they are more driving force than the blokes easily. You know, they are the stronger characters. I mean, you know, Ken's mum is ruling the roost. There's no question about that.
Yeah.
You know, she's manipulating everything. They're manipulating each other with Winnie and that. The girls, Melanie as well, and Tanya, they're more savvy than the men, no doubt about that. But it is an odd thing, really. You know, you're saying about it being partnerships. It is, I mean, it kind of is and it isn't. It depends, really, doesn't it? Because a lot of the times we'd open it up so you'd have the whole pub talking about a specific subject. And you would get Tommy, Eddie and Joan in talk in quite a bit, you know, because he would be the sounding board for talking about Joan's mum, Nellie, or for Tommy to be talking about his dead wife, Edith, who he, you know, a little plaque up in the gardens, and he was and he realised he was still paying his direct debit for the upkeep of it after she died. So there were little groups of people, but that is just real, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You go to a pub, you know, you have your certain mates or your certain person that you'll gravitate towards, but then somebody will come wandering in. We've got a mate in the pub, and he's kind of a non. If he was in a sitcom, he'd be like he'd be an extra. He's called Martin. He won't watch this, so it won't make no difference. And they call him the ghost because he just sort of floats around from table to table, really. And you'll find him on your shoulder. It's like most haunted. You have to drink, you're talking, and then he'll just say something once a month or once every few weeks. Like my mate is just finished with his girlfriend about 2 months ago, or she finished with him, and then all of a sudden, like last week, and he's not spoke for ages. But I heard about your girlfriend. Somebody's seen her with another bloke, and then he'll move on. So he says nothing, and then he just says something that really kind of, you know, cuts you to the quick, and then he's off. He's floats off. So you know, there is that thing where in a pub or anywhere really, it's a social gathering kind of thing. You just do gravitate to certain people, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's like me and so Joe and Duffy. You know, it was basically, you know, they've been mates for ages since school. Well, that was me and Craig. We were mates for ages. We were those characters, I hasten to add. But, you know, and we would see that couple on the estate where we grew up who were a bit naive, to be a polite word, but happy.
Yeah.
You know, they're the happiest two people in that place, and yet they've got, you know, got nothing. And you know, outside looking in, you think, bloody hell, they're thick as pig shit, them, or you know, the bloody dad. But they're oblivious to all the pressures of the world, you know, until somebody cuts the phone off, and then everyone goes, oh well, we rally around because they're, you know, they're lovely. No, there's no harm in them, and. The other thing as well is which is nice again about early doors. So, you know, going back to what I talked about, everybody would take the mickey out of Joan and Eddie, or know what they were saying, or look at each other. Nobody would actually sort of call them out. There was no one being. Oh God, look how stupid! Or you know what I mean? Everyone would know, and we'd be like, oh, Dopey the dog. And we're all like, oh, bloody hell. You know, and I think that's the difference as well, because I think sometimes comedy I mean, comedy is about cruelty. Well, it's not about cruelty. It's sometimes you can be, you can veer into the realms of being cruel. And then for me, you'll know comedies, and you people watch comedy and you think, this is, it's nasty. It's like, it's shock.
Yeah.
It's being horrible to somebody. And that's like meant to be funny. Well, I've never found that particularly funny myself. It's all right. I mean, it's like Trigger on Fools and Horses. He's nobody's really nasty to him. It's like Eddie and Joan or, with us. They were sort of like lovable puppies, really, weren't they? They were a bit daft and, but. So I think, they just worked as a couple. The cops, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, isn't it, I suppose? I mean, and I suppose with Ryan, it is a partnership as well.
Yeah.
When you look at it from that point of view. Yeah. But yeah, there's definitely a thing where partnerships sort of prevail. I mean, even with the girls, mainly it was Tanya and Debbie, wasn't it? Who were together. I know Maxine would join in. But yeah, I don't know. It's just a funny one that. But then again, we did have a lot of that collective conversations about nonsense like organic veg and things like that,
of course.
Whether anybody likes circuses.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
I'll finish this episode with my philosophical question.
So, all right. Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. I hope it's worth it.
We're going to have a week to think about it and come back with an answer. Do you want an answer now?
We'll see.
Do you need to meditate for an hour on it?
So, in Star Wars, apparently, you see Star Wars through the guise of R2-D2 and C-3PO, apparently. Who are you watching this through? Is it Joe and Duffy? Is it Ken? Is it the bar?
I kind of always thought it was through Ken, really.
Okay.
I always sort of think he's the one... for better or worse, who sees everything that's going on with other people, knows it, so he knows that he's being that the coppers are using their position of power, and he accepts it. He knows what Eddie and Joan. He knows what Duffy and Joe. When he's sit there playing cards with Joe and Duffy, and when he's serving people, I think he is more. He's our eyes, really.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, in a way, I think that when things like the emotional beats of it are usually down to him. It's something to do with him, whether it's something's happened where his daughter's looking for his biological father, or where he's initiated something to help somebody else. I think you're feeling that's why it resonates, because I think you feel he's that everyman, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's our every woman. He's sort of the eyes and ears of it, I think, really. So that's who I would say. Oh, Gyro Jim. No, not Gyro Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this first episode. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time, where we will talk about episode one. Now, did it have a real title, episode one?
Oh, that's a good question. Can you give me 2 weeks to look up and find out? I think that we did end up titling them just for the reasons of advertising them in the TV Times or what it was. But I don't think we ever thought we ever thought to give them the episodes individual titles.
Okay.
So yeah, so there will be somewhere in the Radio Times episode one. Who's wrote Wanker on My Sign? Although I doubt if that would have made the Radio Times.
I don't think it would have. Well, to hear that and more, like, subscribe, tell your friends, do what Phil said earlier, the word of mouth that got Early Doors to where it is, amongst other things. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Thank you.
Yes, brilliant.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.